Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We're just fresh off a big Anzac Day clash. Collingwood beating Essendon. I'm Glenn McFarlane. I'm here today with Sam Landsberger and Scott Gullen. Brody Grundy, guys, what's going on there?
Well, ding, 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 breaking news.
Breaking news.
Fill me in, Sammy.
Massive news.
Gone.
Is it PCL confirmed?
Not confirmed, but we suspect so PCL.
Craig McRae hinted at this on Monday night where he said he entered the game sore.
Yeah.
If the Pies are out with him, without him for 12 weeks, one, it just sort of exemplifies how good that game-saving tackle was.
Oh, absolutely.
Or match-winning tackle on Jake Kelly in the last quarter. But two, it places him in a precarious position.
It really does. And the club, really, in a sense. And you're looking at it, and does it give Mason Cox his big opportunity here?
12-week crack at it.
12-week crack at it.
I'm trying to remember. You'll remember this, Macca, because you're old enough. Who sung that song, Sunglasses at Night?
Corey Hart. Yes.
It'll save his career.
It could save his career.
Because Freddy Krueger's out.
Yeah,
he's
for the
gone
rest of the year.
Rest of the season.
Likely, yeah.
Grundy in trouble. They've got that long-haired Wilson.
Tom Wilson, but he's not going to be playing there. You'll have Darcy Cameron.
That's what I mean. Darcy Cameron.
Oh, I thought
Cox.
You were going to say Wilson.
No.
Yeah,
so Darcy Cameron, at least they got him.
Yeah, they
have.
He's
but
a
legit
But it keeps them, like, they're short down forward then, aren't they?
So if it's Cameron and Cox, who plays in the ruck and who plays a full forward?
Cameron has first ruckman. He's a more traditional ruckman.
Cox has been playing a little bit in the ruck in the VFL when he's played there.
Corey Hart, sorry.
No, we don't make fun of
people. Aren't we allowed to do that?
Issues. You could do whatever you want, Scott. You've been in the industry.
Well, I respect
a long
that he's
time.
Allowed to wear them. I just find it amusing.
Well, because it's funny, because as we were sitting here, and you, certainly Sam knows this, we were coming up with my favourite thing of the week to do, the predicted 22. And I was trying to work out, does Cox get back? And I did predicate it by saying that if Brody Grundy doesn't play, he's a chance.
But
I wouldn't have had him in, but he'll play now, surely, and has a chance. Because most people think this is likely to be his last year unless something changes. This could be the shot in the arm, in a sense, that he really needs.
And he comes up against Jared Witts in the Gold Coast Suns, former Magpie.
Former Magpie, there you go. The man who was tipped out, in a sense, because the Pies thought they had enough ruck issues there. It's a massive concern for Collingwood going forward, though, isn't it?
Oh, well, they're one of those teams in the middle rung. If their best players all play well, and they've got elite, 10 players, they're a good team. Yeah. If they start losing the soldiers from the top.
Yeah, it's a worry then, isn't it?
They can't handle it.
Speaking of best players, I mean, the game on the line and they put Scott Pendlebury back in the middle yesterday. How telling was that?
Incredible.
New coach. Love what he's doing, trying to reposition Pendles at halfback. But when there's an Anzac Day contest on the line, Scott Pendlebury in the centre
square.
Fair
to say, Sammy, I'm saying all through that period there when I'm thinking they're in a little bit of trouble, let's get the skipper in. And he made a huge difference when he went in, didn't he? So.
And Nick Dacos was the man that went out. And he sort of replaced Pendle and did well as well. But all the talk is about the kid.
Yeah.
Jack Ginnivan.
Wow. The whiz kid. Don't you love now? We seem to have this little core sort of growing of sort of in your face, out there sort of small forwards. I love it. Don't you?
Well, we got him. Who?
Jack Higgins. Jack Higgins has been
Cody
fantastic.
Cody Waitman has done similar.
I think that's
it's
it.
A good little.
It's the new breed of Brat Pack, or do we call them Rat Pack being small? And there was a lot of conjecture about who should have been Lauren Wood from the Herald Sun voted for the medal, and I think she did a sensational job in regard to that. I thought he was a standout. I mean, Jeremy Howe was terrific. Darcy Parrish was very good. I would have been
goals win matches.
Goals
come
win
on,
matches.
He kicked five. So, Parrish was outstanding.
He was. Yep.
Yeah.
So three people that voted on, on the day, the two coaches, and they go 5-4-3-2-1. The coaches' votes have come back a tie, 8 votes for Ginnivan, Howe and Parrish.
Three-way tie.
Which means that one coach is given a 5 and a 3, another one's given a 5 and a 3, and one of those three players has got a 4 and a 4.
Gee, there you go.
So I would suspect that maybe...
Rutten would give it to Parrish.
Rutten would give it to Parrish, you'd think.
You would
and
think.
That's probably a fair
and
call.
You'd think Fly would give it to Ginnivan, and maybe they both decide Jeremy Howe's the second best player on the ground.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know what was it's a good educated guess, I reckon, in a sense, Sam. You know what was really interesting was looking at the votes. We said Lauren Wood was voting. I think Josh Gablik was voting as well.
Michael
Gleeson was voting.
Collingwood bias.
Well, there you go. I think Josh Gablik, you know.
Both Collingwood.
Famous name. Yeah, grandson of the great Ray Gablik.
Loaded towards the Magpies.
Ray Gablik. But the interesting other vote was Job Watson, boys. I don't know if you caught up with Job's 3-2-1.
Surely he had Parrish in a 3. 40 touches. Where did he have Darcy Parrish?
Not the 3. Not the 2.
Surely the 1.
Not the 1. Left him out. He left him out, Job.
Did he really?
Which I found interesting because...
Wow.
Is that Job Watson saying, Darcy, maybe change the way that you play? Because for your 44 touches haven't got you a spot in the best 3 players on the ground. Yep. You're not damaging enough. Is that his message?
100%. That's the way I read it because he can see there. He knows. You know, he's on the coverage. He's watching the game. He's on the coverage. He knows the stats. The stats are right in front of him. And I reckon he goes, you know what? Collingwood had players that were better than, you know, their output was better than what his overall output using the disposals, I think. There's no doubt about that, Scott.
I think that's hard. I mean, the stats said he didn't 2 inside 50s and minimal score involvements or something. But you watch that game, he was... I didn't feel like it was... And we all know a lot of players. 15 halfback flank handballs. I thought he was better than that. I think it's a bit harsh on Parrish this...
He's in the top 3. For mine, he was in the top 3. He may have even been 2 for me.
I would have given him two.
And
a lot of them were in the centre square and around.
And you hear Fly McRae talk about how, you know, he was calling out to Brennan Bolt in the box saying, what are we doing about this bloke? Lipinski moved to him in the second half, it seemed like, to cool him down a bit. Yeah. So, I mean, he was clearly causing headaches for Collingwood, but not according to Job.
No, it was interesting.
I like that.
I love these sort of... We've all given votes in medals and stuff like that. It's the most sickening feeling.
It is terrible. I had to do a pre-season cup, so...
Oh, that would have been...
That's where they rate me, the Michael Tuck medal. You do far bigger things.
I've only done one Norm Smith, and I'll never, ever do one again.
And it was one of those games which was a bit... Oh, there's no real standout here. And I remember I ran one of the assistant coaches from the game like an hour after. Oh, did I get this right? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's close enough.
Well, my favourite Michael Tuck medal moment is when Michael Tuck gets up and he's giving up the medal, his own medal named after him, and he goes, I'd like to present the Norm Smith medal. He got his own medal wrong, so there as well. Boys, what do we make of the Bombers? Like, I thought Collingwood were really good, did what they had to. Where are the Bombers at? They were better. And what can change in regard to the Bombers going forward?
Well, if you're a stats nerd, they won on expected scores, I think 72 to 56 or something.
That
like
is a ridiculous stat. Explain that to me.
So it basically measures the quality of your looks at goals. So if you generate a shot from 30 out right in front, AFL averages, you'll keep that X times out of 100.
Okay. So. Scotty, did you have access to that stat when you covered your first game? Was it 1990 or 91? Did you have
access to that? No.
Neither did
so
I.
Expected scores.
It gives you a gauge at how a team is playing that might not necessarily align with the scoreline. So you can dominate a game. Like, for example, Melbourne on Sunday night dominated that first half of footy. Couldn't put it through the big sticks. I think they were 4 goals up on expected scores at halftime, trailing in the match, but eventually it works out and they win the game. So it gives you a bit of an indicator as to how a team is playing, removing accuracy. I think that's a fair explanation.
No, I like it.
Doesn't
our
call
listeners,
me in,
I
like
it. Give our us a listeners call. Will be all over it. Well, Essendon's problems is what we know. I mean, they've got Peter Wright, Jake Stringer, and nothing. They got Draper. Their defence has lost Hurley. But they just haven't got the right bodies in the right place.
No.
And is that recruiting? Yes. They recruit a lot of midfielders, a few who are not travelling as well. What's your thoughts? They got good young kids.
Six games ago, they smashed the Pies by 40 points, 38 points, I think, to charge into September. the changing fortunes of those two clubs since round 23 last year.
Good point.
I mean, I've got Bombers fans, you know, crying out yesterday saying, oh, we're just young or we're inexperienced. Well, a 19-year-old's won the medal kicking five.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. I can't understand that, Sam. So that doesn't I really can't. To be honest, it's a cop-out to say that. You heard Andy McGrath say earlier in the week, we don't want any more excuses. And then we have certain officials and that going on radio beforehand saying, oh, we're only young. We're start of the year, we had the Bombers saying, oh, we're still a developing side. I think it's a cop-out.
What do they know that we don't, that they're alarmed about?
Maybe they're not good enough. I think that's what they know. Is that your feeling as well, that they deep down know that they're not quite good enough?
I think so. I mean, yeah, they haven't been on a plane yet. It's six rounds in. Yeah. They're 1-5.
Play the Dogs, who really desperately need to win this week. Oh, it's a loser of that game.
Whoa. That is
Yeah, really.
Marvel Stadium.
We'll come to that, boys. We'll just take a quick break and we'll come back to that Marvel Stadium clash between the Dogs and the Dons. Marvel Stadium, Sunday, 3:20, Dogs v Dons. Massive game. Loser is in serious trouble.
Serious. Now, there is a bit of Bulldogs radio here for a couple of minutes because Samuel and I are...
I'll just put the feet up and have a sleep for a minute, boys.
Steph Martin, clearly, I hope he was rusty because Tim English is out. So the whole thing, all last year, Steph Martin got recruited. I know he's old, but he's still got a little bit in the tank.
The tank looked pretty empty.
Correct. So now I'm concerned because Tim English has got a hammy. That's a problem.
Couple more weeks, maybe?
Keith's got a hammy problem. But the ruck, I thought the ruck, and then that flows onto all the on-ballers playing Bont Ford. There's all sorts of mishmash wrong about what happened on Sunday.
Saturday.
I didn't even know what day it was. Saturday.
Yeah, it was a mess. You would think, so Jordan Sweet missed last week with concussion. Was also in the
very
health and
gentleman.
Safety protocols. So I think he played Footscray on Saturday night in Southport. They had their game delayed because of a flight cancellation. So it was a great day for the club all around.
Is he home yet?
But you'd think he might be a better matchup for Sam Draper this week. So that's one problem. One step forward maybe. The fact that Tim English went down at training with a soft tissue injury, I find that alarming.
He shouldn't be running that fast at training.
So the Luke Beveridge explained it was a corky. Mm. He probably didn't, come in, treated as well as he could have. It bled. He did it at the last kick on training on Wednesday. But then they've had Alex Keith have a setback. I don't think he's going to come back for another month now. He's already missed three or four games. Johannesson's had a setback with his calf injury, which he did in the round one warm-up. Latham Vandermeer's had a hamstring.
Who's monitoring? This is becoming Collingwood of a couple of years ago.
There's a lot of soft tissues there. And suddenly, for a club that looked like they were as deep as the ocean, the quality of play seems to run pretty dry.
Yeah, it's a concern, isn't it? And Sam was obviously, Luke Beveridge's press conference was pretty harrowing to listen to that on Saturday night, with the Mitch Wallace and his in-law scenario. It's a terrible story. Lovely to see that, they've just had the child, I think it was a son in the last few days.
Yeah, young William.
But it's got to have an impact on a footy club. Mitch Wallace is such a popular person to have around that place. It really is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, Lachie Hunter, vice-captain in 2020, he steps away for mental health reasons. And then Mitch Wallace, vice-captain last year, loses his mother-in-law to a fatal car crash with his wife a week overdue pregnant. It's gut-wrenching, really. And it puts a lot of other things into perspective a bit.
It does.
But, what a traumatic week. And I think Travis Varko, Bevo said, the development coach lost his mum as well. Mm. So it was a grieving football club.
So who wins that game against the Bombers? And the Bombers, any chance? I think all three of us will probably tip Essendon. I think all three of us will tip the Bulldogs. But are they a chance?
Yeah, you have to say, because Footscray are just travelling.
I love it when he calls them Footscray. It just gets Marvel, excited.
Marvel Stadium suits both clubs.
Colonial Stadium.
Yeah, Colonial Stadium. Telstra Dome. Oh, isn't it? Like, Jake Stringer, it's set for him to do something against his old team. You can almost see that happening. So, I'd be very nervous.
They desperately need Laverde and Parrish to play, don't they, in a sense, to try and get up. It's going to be tough for them to play, but hopefully, fingers crossed, they do.
Josh Dunkley tried to play for the other mob a couple of years ago. He's out of contract again.
Gee, they could do him. Will they have a cracky grand, you reckon, Sam? And should they? That's the sort of player they need, but have they got too much of that salary cap invested in their midfield?
It's a great question. I mean, Essendon's pretty bats pretty deep in the midfield, but he's just he'd just walk into that team and make them a far better unit straight away. So you would think so, but the Bulldogs have that many players out of contract.
They do.
They wouldn't want this season to unravel.
Tim English,
Bailey Dale, Jack McRae's been done, so he's not. But
Caleb Daniel,
and the big one, Bailey Smith, who I don't think he's anywhere near ready to enter contract.
Wow!
So,
and they're good players. Like, they're not just your average players. They're elite players for that footy club.
I'm concerned.
The Bulldog Radio just went quiet over there Scotty. So that's the hype train. Was that you, Scotty?
That sounded like you. Yeah, it was me.
The hype train Scotty loves, St Kilda. The hype train has just taken off, hasn't it? And while they weren't super impressive against the Giants, they were good enough, weren't they?
It was a good win. I tipped Giants, so I was paying a bit of attention. This was a tip to try and get one back. And yeah, that Saints found a bit in the second half. Like, they could have, you know, it was Canberra. The Giants were showing a bit. They're good. You know, Jack Higgins bobbed up. King missed a lot, but it was, they're good.
They are good.
All these no-name defenders standing up. Mm. So it's, I'm a believer. Who they got this week?
Port Adelaide in Cairns.
Danger game, and that's what I want to ask you, Sammy. You're big on this at the moment. There's a couple of teams that, you know, one played sold a game last week and the other one will sell one this week. What are your thoughts?
I mean, look, can totally understand why you do it. It's a no-brainer financially. I think the Dogs make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from playing a couple of games in Ballarat. But you have to ask the question, would Luke Beveridge enjoy that? Would they have won that game at Marvel Stadium on Saturday?
Good point, Sam.
Yeah. I mean, Adelaide really, they strangled the Dogs. They turned it into a real arm wrestle because they knew if it came down to a talent contest, the Dogs win that game. Speed, skill, far superior, you would think. So, and then this week, St Kilda, red hot at the moment, go to Cairns where it could be, you know, 100 mils of rain this week, could be cyclone-ish conditions.
Oh.
Anything can happen. So you just wonder, you can clearly understand the commercial reasons and you support that, but from a football perspective, is it ideal?
Yeah, it's not, clearly, is it, when you look at it like that. So that is a danger game because they got their mojo back, Port. I think Gary Lyons put it perfectly when he said they all dined from the buffet table and they did, Port Adelaide. They had this great opportunity to fill up. And they did.
Well, not the Aussie batsman against English over some. I mean, some entered out of form, but yes, they made form perfectly. Just to contrast that, I mean, Geelong on Saturday, they've got the best home ground advantage in the business. They don't sell games. They play as many as they can at the Cattery. I mean, they've got Fremantle at Geelong. It's a huge leg up. Imagine if that game was in Cairns or Ballarat and they had to sell games. It would really be a 50-50 contest.
You'd probably almost tip Fremantle. You'd be a chance to tip them, wouldn't you? They've been fantastic.
Down the highway, they're probably a four-goal better team.
Absolutely.
So, it's a great position. Obviously, it's a great situation for the Cats. But, yeah, I think the Dogs and potentially the Saints, it could come back to bite them, which is unfortunate because that's just the world we live in at the moment, financially.
Gone very quiet over there, Scotty. He's not very happy about that. You talk about that, like the unlikely match of the round. We wouldn't have said this, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago that Geelong and Fremantle is the match of the round. It has got a lot about it, hasn't it?
The Cats, Brisbane are the highly ranked and the Cats took hold of them a few weeks ago. Mm. I mean, they had an easy kill against the Kangaroos after a disappointing performance against Hawthorn. I mean, I think this is what Geelong's going to serve up. You know, Cameron and Hawkins every second week or most weeks are getting it done. It's whether they played a new kid. They're showing signs of doing what we all want them to do, but yet that Hawthorn performance rings in your head. So Fremantle won't let them, you know, get away with too much. They're a very well-drilled team.
Fremantle will win that for mine. Even though I've just gone on about the home ground factor. Yeah, I think they're the second best team in it. Right?
It's interesting that you say that because I'm more and more getting
sold. Who have they beaten? Should we?
They haven't beaten anything. Correct. Carlton was the best they've beaten so far.
Carlton, who had run out of steam already in their home deck.
Beat who you play.
No. We got to
analyze. I'm not going to say.
Who else they've beaten? West Coast, terrible. St Kilda, they lost to, and which should never have lost to.
Adelaide and Adelaide, which suddenly looks not too
bad. Yeah, but still
bad.
Terrible. My point to you, have they played a team of Geelong's nature?
Let's revisit this conversation in 7 days' time once they've knocked the Cats off.
All I will say is the coach, the Fremantle coach, boy, does he know what he's doing. Because when he left Collingwood, he helped set up Collingwood in that 2018 season. And when he left, things fell apart a little. So,
and I think he gets some assistance back. I think Matty Boyd might have been out with COVID on Saturday night. So more helping hands.
Mark O'Connor be introduced to someone called Brayshaw. Maybe that might help.
That's a very good question.
I think so that will happen. Right that he's leading the Coaches Association Awards.
He is
linked
to Australia.
Pretty amazing.
He's two votes clear of Patrick Cripps, who polled 10 after a 1 week hamstring.
Unbelievable. He was phenomenal. On tackle duty, Scotty, I have to watch every game of the weekend.
Is he best on ground?
Cripps.
According to both coaches.
I thought he was.
Wow, we.
I didn't have to vote on any medals or anything like that, which is good. But what we'll do, guys, I'm a big conspiracy theorist, and I love a little bit of conspiracy theories, only when it makes a little bit of sense. I'm going to come back in a minute after this break, and we're going to talk conspiracy theories. Hello, and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Conspiracy theories abound. Sammy, you surely know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, I've got an inkling. Is it to do with the Mackay Bowl?
Yes, it is.
So surely we've been waiting 7 years. Is this the week, Macca?
Well, we all thought this was the week. We'd all planned it. Was all ready to go. Harry and Ben's mum was going to get a jumper done. It was half Carlton, half North Melbourne.
Mrs. King did that a couple of years ago.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. But not playing against each other again. So can you believe that? 7 years. So it just gives rise to the theory that maybe they're the same person.
Are they the same person, Scott?
Is this going to break in media? What's your column?
Media Street. I actually wrote that last night when it came through, and I looked up your wonderful story. But then Harry's going to pull out anyway. You can see that immediately.
Yeah, Harry won't
Harry's
play.
Got a knee issue, as you know, and he had about one kick against Freo.
Yeah.
You could see it tumbling into Thursday. But anyway, Ben's out, suspended.
Yeah.
Was he a bit harsh getting a week for that? Maybe.
Maybe.
But
I was surprised they accepted. I thought that one might go to the tribunal.
Yeah. So, you're right,
maybe they're the same person, and so we had to.
Well, I will straighten up. I will straighten up. His parents are the most wonderful people going around.
It was
around.
A wonderful
so
story
nice.
That I wrote.
But I will say that I have seen childhood photos, and unless there's a mirror image type thing, I do have a Carlton supporter friend who once said to me, what's Harry going over to? And he didn't realise that they were actually twins, so... Not a very close checking Carlton supporter will say that. It is a good quirk. Paddy McCartan, the scenes on Sunday were really just... on Sunday. I'm thinking it's a Sunday. It was a Monday Anzac Day game. Were quite distressing, weren't they?
They were, but it was relieving to hear that his frustration was only regarding the fact that he couldn't go back on the field. And not the fact that he had suffered a potential ninth concussion. This is a really interesting one. I mean, he's... failed the concussion test, and Sydney is trying to make everyone believe that it was anxiety and nerves. And Nick Riewoldt gave credence to that last night when you've had so many that...
Surely he can't play this week in that sense.
He's not allowed to play
because you're out, but would you give him the extra...
This is black and white. Like the AFL's concussion protocols are that tight. And if you're ever going to make an exemption, the last player you would do it for is Paddy McCartan.
100%.
So, the interesting part is my understanding is that after the 12 days, he'll have to pass that test to come back to contact training.
Right,
So hopefully he can calm the nerves, so to speak.
Well, you can understand he's unease about the whole thing, can't you? And the frustration.
Absolutely.
They were harrowing pictures to see, and I think the press conference was good to actually get a bit of clarity.
It was great to provide the context that no, he's not downstairs devastated, shattered because he's been knocked out. It's because he feels fine and can't get back on the ground.
Can
so
I just give a tick to clubs who actually put it out there with injuries quickly, promptly, when they can, in that sense? And I want to give St Kilda a tick with this. Like, Jack Hayes' ACL, which is heartbreaking in itself. It was a really heartbreaking scenario, but full credit to him for, trying to, keep a smile on his face. And St Kilda put that out, that it is a suspected ACL during the course of the game, not long after it had happened. And that's to me, for clarity, that's a tick.
Yeah, I mean, the clubs know straight away. They do the test on the boundary. They've got the vision. So it's like, most coaches do say, we'll wait for scans tomorrow. But they know. So great that we know as well because and then love the fact that Brett Ratton said straight after the game, we love this kid. We'll back him in. We'll see him next year.
Oh, I think that was awesome, wasn't it? The way they were able to do that. He's got a contract. We're going to give him a contract. And Scotty, you were so buoyant about Carlton.
Yes, I was.
Now, this is a setback for you because you've given me the Essendon round of the kitchen sink, as you should have.
I was, but I predicted that news a couple of weeks ago. Oh,
is the honeymoon over for Michael Voss?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, this week, North Melbourne, well, that's going to make him a little bit, sleep a bit easier. But the Crips focus, you know, obviously against Gold Coast, he went out, they lost. He's going to have to find the game style and more depth around the midfielder is the issue, really. I mean, he's got the two great forwards, but their game style, they kept getting run over, Sammy. We kept seeing that. And then is it tiring? Is this bulls, all these bulls in the midfield, do they get tired and can they be exposed?
Their rotation of midfielders, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but I would imagine be at the lower end of the table. It seems like the same on-ball unit.
Hewitt, Kennedy, Walsh and Cripps.
So the same... the same pairs, every centre bounce. So does the fatigue factor snowball? The question I've got is Jack Nunes. I'm not sure we'll see much more of him at AFL level. He's played 193 games. So
started the season out of the team, came in and hasn't done much.
Yeah, and then has Vossi sort of seen enough of Lachie O'Brien and Paddy Dow and decided, I don't think you're in my best team going forward.
Yeah, their bottom six is a problem.
That's exactly what I think as well.
Cottrell, Parks, there's a few of these names you just go, whoa.
Yep.
And people love Fisher, but does he do enough? You know,
he clearly doesn't. Like, he's got talent, but he doesn't.
There's issues with their bottom end, and I think it's been exposed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know where there are. There's some issues with North Melbourne at the moment, and they obviously play each other on the weekend.
Why they got worse than last year?
Going on.
I thought we were supposed to progress.
No, I think there was... I happened to be at a game, in a pre-season game at Casey when Melbourne took them on, and I was very concerned with the look of it then. And you think, maybe it's a pre-season game. They smacked them, Melbourne. And, it was a situation where you think this may be... This may not be realistic. You know, they're going to be an okay team, but they weren't. They've been terrible all the way through. You know, barring beating West Coast, which everyone but Collingwood has
got them on the right week.
They didn't beat West Coast. They beat the Waffle Eagles.
Good point. That's a good point. So they've got some. There's some real concerns about North at the moment, isn't it? They've got to somehow find a way to actually, you know, keep themselves relevant and keep them going.
It's David Noble's in for. It's his biggest challenge, obviously, because. It was a honeymoon-ish theory, but now it's like, what do they stand for as in game plan-wise? They are easy to score against. And, you know, Fremantle and these teams that have slowly built, Brisbane, they build off being able to compete and stop. When you're no good, compete and not get flogged. And that's what Noble came in and said, this is what we're going to do. Well, what's happened? Are the players not listening to you? Are the players worse than you thought? I mean, what is going on?
I mean, David Noble came in and said, we want to be a really attacking team that knows how to score. Well, they've kicked 11 goals under the lid on Good Friday and I think 9 against Geelong. And it's just not happening.
No, it's not, is it? There's some real concerns there. You know what was one of the best news stories, and we didn't really see much of it, but one of the best news stories of the Anzac round was Dusty back at training Saturday morning. I think it's great for footy. It's great for Dusty. It's great for Richmond. How much of an impact can he make? He obviously, you wouldn't think he would play this week, but he might play against Collingwood.
Well, West Coast on Friday night, no, don't bother. No. But then
Collingwood.
How big is that?
Does that mean Dusty comes back against Collingwood? Nat Five comes back against Collingwood. That's handy, isn't it? Hey,
that'll be crunch time for them. And yeah, he's missed a month of footy. Mm. Condition wise, you wouldn't lose much. Train him hard for a week and a half. Dusty's back and. They need him. Boy, they need him. I thought they were quite good, and I gave him a chance against Melbourne a bit. Mm. Yeah, you thought they could live for the occasion, but Melbourne are in a different level.
Good side. They are. I'm not going to declare them. You can't declare any team this far out, but they're as good a team this stage of the year that you can imagine. I mean, there's plenty of teams have fallen over. Like, you look at Geelong in 2008. This time of the year, you would have said Geelong were absolutely over the line. But
how many games did they lose for the home and away season?
One. And I don't even know which one it is. They might.
No, they'll lose three.
Where?
Late in the year when they go through. Late in the year.
So Ross Lyon, sort of, was that 2009? That's in Kilda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Freeman will start 15-0 or something.
He did. Yeah.
You can't keep this moment up. But we mentioned bottom six. They're bottom six. You know, Petty,
fantastic,
and Sparrow, and all these
they
guys.
They haven't got a weakness in the team. In fact, they've got their only weakness is how do they keep all these players playing? If you could play 25, they'd be completely unstoppable.
Yeah,
they had Nathan Jones sitting at home in the grand final last year.
Absolutely,
because it was, so, no, not a realistic chance.
No, so.
They are hard to beat.
Haven't been slow on them, but I've just been not thinking they're a dominant dynasty.
To be honest,
team,
I don't think they're actually playing super footy at the moment.
That's what's scary. They're in second, third gear, and they're that far in front of everyone.
They sure are. So it is interesting, boys. Now we just your headline. Now I think you've given us your headline. I reckon what's going to happen down at GMHBA Stadium. So. What, yes. Is that the big weekend headline?
I've been big on Freo for a few weeks, and I think this is a week where everyone else will stand up and take notice. So heave ho to the Cats.
Go the boys, Witkowski, star. So, Scotty?
Stringer miss hands dogs lucky victory. So he's kicking for his 10th and he missed it, and the Bulldogs win by a point.
Bulldogs win by a point? Yeah, I like it. There you go. I like that. Boys, you've been absolutely outstanding again. So many different headlines there. I really appreciate it. And thanks to all the listeners for listening. Keep an eye on heraldsun.com.au for all your news and views. Thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.